Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now on Masechet Pesachim Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, about to take another look at the Braita with which we concluded the previous podcast, right in the middle of the Amud. V'shavin she'ein lashin et ha'isa b'foshrin. They agree that you're not allowed to use lukewarm water to knead the dough. So my shami menachot, why is this any different than menachot? We have to remember that menachot also carry with them an isur of chimutz, of chametz. Dinan, we have the Mishnah in menachot. Kol ha-menachot niloshot b'foshrin, u'mishtamashin shelo yechmatzu. You can use lukewarm water to knead the dough of all menachot, and you're just careful that they don't become chametz. So the answer is, Imam Rubi's Rizin, Imam Rubi's Shainan's Rizin, the Kohanim who are involved, we have a general rule that Kohanim, at least when it comes to things they're doing in the Mikdash, are Zrizin, are very careful and circumspect about what they're doing, and are always on guard. So you can't apply it to regular people who are in Zrizin. So, Yachi Miltat Nami Latit, so why can't you then soak it in warm water? Alama Amar Bizera Amar Yumi Amar Shmuel, Chitin Shamanachot En Lotitino Tal Lisha, En Lotitino Tal. Shmuel said that the wheat can't be soaked in regular water, soaked at all. So the answer is lisha bizrizini talatita leita bizrizin. The answer is the kneading of menachot was done by the kohanim, but the soaking was done earlier and was done by non-kohanim, and therefore that's not the case. However, v'lisha miita bizrizin, since when is the kneading done by Zrizin, meaning by Kohanim, Vaktiv, V'yatzak alei ha-shemen ve'vi'al ha-kohen. So in the parallel that we have with a Zevach, in which it describes in an anonymous sense, somebody putting their hands on it, somebody shechting it, meaning the owner, and then the Kohen goes from Kabbalah. In the same way with the Mincha, it describes as somebody putting the oil on it, somebody bringing it to the Kohen, and then the Kohen is Kometz, Mikmitza va'elach mitzvat kuna. It's only from Kmitza and on that the Kohen has to be involved, which means that the kneading could be done by a non-Kohen. So pouring the oil on it, mixing the oil together, could all be done by anybody. So the answer is no. Lisha nihidim is rizin leita makom zrizinita. You're right that the lisha could be done by other people. It doesn't have to be done by a Kohen. But it's done in a place where there are zrizim. Meaning, Zrizut is made up of two different components. One is the individual and how on guard they are about things. Second of all is the environment. And since the Lisha is done in the Azara, and therefore it's an environment of Zrizut, we're not concerned about Chimutz. Damarmar, Blilak, Sherab, Azar, Chutz, Lachomat, Azara, Psula. That the mixture of the oil and the flour, which is the kneading, can be done by a non-coin, but can't be done outside of the Azara. As opposed to soaking the wheat, which is done neither by Kohanim nor in the place of Zrizin, in the place of the Kohanim. And therefore, somebody might not be careful and it could become Chametz. So how is this different than the Minchata Omer that's brought on the second day of Pesach? So the Minchata Omer, you do soak the barley and then you pile it up. So the answer is Tzibur Shani. It's different because it's a little play on words, Sovrinota, but because it's a Minchat Tzibur. Since it's a public korban, therefore they're going to be extra careful about it and make sure it doesn't come to Chimutz. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brayta. Yachol yotzei adam yerecho v'tov bikurim. I might think you could use bikurim for matzah, meaning you brought your wheat as bikurim to the Mikdash, after Shavuot, and it never got eaten up, and it was given to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim held on to it, and now they want to use that matzah the next year for matzah for the Seder. I might think you could be Yotzei Talmud Lomar, B'chol Moshevotechem Tochlu Matzot. At the very end of Parshat HaChodesh, the last phrase is, you eat matzot in all of your settlements. What's the limud? Matzah nechel b'chol Moshevotechem means it has to be matzah that could be eaten anywhere, and of course, Bikurim may only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Only by Kohanim it's given to them, but also only in Yerushalayim. Yatzu bikurim shenachalim el b'chom ha-shvotechem el b'Yerushalayim, divrei Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says the reason that you cannot use bikurim for matzah is because of b'chom ha-shvotechem. Rabbi Akiva omer, matzah u'maror. Matzah is compared to maror. Ma maror she'eno bikurim, af matzah she'eno bikurim. says, after all, maror comes from species that are vegetables, and therefore they can't be bikurim. Bikurim can only be priyaitz, essentially, and or things that could become mizonot, motzi, right? And as opposed to maror. So therefore, just like maror is not bikurim, therefore matzah must not be bikurim. Imam maror shein mino bikurim, matzah shein mino bikurim. So take it one step further. Just like maror, nothing in its species could be bikurim. In the same way, matzah must come from something that nothing in its species could be bikurim, which is impossible because matzah must come from wheat, which is part of bikurim. So itzi chitin v'sorin shesh minan bikurim. So maybe wheat and barley are out, which is silly. Tamalomar matzot matzot riba. That the Torah said matzot several times to marbeh, and say you could expand it to use the sort of things that are in the classification of things that are used from bikurim, but not bikurim themselves. Riba filu bikurim nami hadarbe. So maybe if you say matzot matzot riba, you're going to extend it. So afilu bikurim nami. So the answer is hadarbe Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva backed off and he said my limud was not the correct one. And comparing matzah to maror really ends up at a dead end. And therefore, we accept Rabbi Yosef Gli, the b'chomo shvotechem. Tetanya, how do we know Rabbi Kiva backed off? Yachol yitzei adam yidechobato bikurim tamu lomar b'chomo shvotechem tochlu matzot. Which is exactly Rabbi Yosef Gli. Matzah nechlad b'chomo shavot, etzu bikurim shenachal al mishchomo al mishchomot el bisholayim. Now, yachol shani motzi af ma'aser sheni tamu lomar matzot matzot ribat. So then the author of this statement says, I might think that I should also exclude Maaser Sheni. Let's say I brought Maaser Sheni wheat to Yerushalayim a week before Pesach, and I want to make it into matzah and have it with my Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. So that works because of matzot matzot. Now, umar ra'ita l'rabot Maaser Sheni l'tzi bikurim. So why did you decide? You have one phrase, which would also exclude Ma'aser Sheni, because you can't eat that outside Yerushalayim. And you have another one, Matzot Matzot, which is a ribui. So why do you decide to be inclusive when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni and exclusive when it comes to Bikurim? So the answer is, Merabeh ani Ma'aser Sheni sheyesh lo heter b'chol moshavot k'rab Elazar, as we'll see it in a moment. Umotzi ani Bikurim she'en lehen heter b'chol moshavot. The answer is that Bikurim never has a place outside of Yerushalayim. Maaser Sheni might, as the following teaching of Rebbe Elazar says, Minayin l'maaser Sheni shenitma shepodin oto afilu Yerushalayim. How do I know that if Maaser Sheni, typically we say that if Maaser Sheni, which you can redeem, even if in a pristine state, if it's still back with you on the farm up in the Galil, but once it's coming to Yerushalayim, you can't redeem it. Rebbe Elazar is of the opinion that if it became Tamei, even in Yerushalayim you could redeem it. Tamud lomar, kilo tuchal se'ito. Right, which the literal translation of that is that, let's say the Maaser Sheni that you have is too heavy to carry or too much of a burden to carry, therefore you can redeem it. But lo tuchal seito, the drasha is ein seita la'achila, shenemar v'aysa maseit me'et panav. This is when Yosef gives the food to his brothers at the meal. It's called maseit. All right, it also shows up in Esther Perak Bet, the feast for Esther. Right, so since se'et refers to the lotu chal se'to, now it doesn't mean it's too heavy for you to carry, but you can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because it's tamei, and therefore you can redeem it even in Yerushalayim. Now, so far we haven't gotten anywhere because we're trying to prove that Rabbi Akiva backed off of his position and agreed with Rabbi Yossi Aglili that the source for not eating matzah bikurim is moshvotechem and not the comparison with maror. Here we have an anonymous brayta. How do we know that Rabbi Akiva is the author? The answer is man shamat le'damar maaser sheni nafik be Rabbi Akiva. Who is it who said that you could be yotzei matzah with maaser sheni? We know it's Rabbi Akiva. K'maylu the bikurim im b'chol moshvotechem. And yet he also uses b'chol moshvotechem to exclude bikurim shma mina hadarbe. So he must have backed off from his dissent from Rabbi Yosef Glili and agreed that the source is really b'chol moshvotechem. Now, Rabbi Yosef Glili tepuklei milachem oni. Why does Rabbi Yosef Glili use a different source, which is matzah is called lechem oni. Misha and achal be'oni. Now there's a play on words here. And by the way, Rabbi Yosef Glili and in the Galil, ayins and olives were often mixed up, as they are for many of us today. And therefore, lechem oni, bread of poverty, could be read as lechem oni, bread of mourning, meaning bread that can be eaten when you're in mourning, and bikurim may not, as you say in Bidui Masrot, v'achaldi v'oni mimenu, and according to Chachamim, that applies to Bikurim as well. Rabbi Shimon dissents. So he says, yatzaze she'in nachal ela b'simcha. In other words, since Bikurim can only be eaten in a state of rejoicing, and lechem oni, and it's more than just a play on ayin aleph, it's bread of poverty, so you could eat it when you're sad. So the answer is something like Rabbi Shimon. As I mentioned, Rabbi Shimon has a dissent. Tanya Bikurim asurin l'onen Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon does not extend the limitations that are in Vidui Masrot to Bikurim, and therefore lo achalti v'onim menu only applies to Maaser Sheni and not to Bikurim. By the way, if we were to take that one step further, then Maaser Sheni should now be out for Matzah, which is the opposite direction that we went. Now, why did Rabbanan say what they did? My Tama de Rabbanan. That said that Bikurim cannot be eaten, that Bikurim cannot be eaten in the case of a state of mourning. The long list in Re'e of you can't eat the following things in your own cities, Truma, Bikurim, etc. From Amar, Trumat Yadecha. It says Trumat Yadecha. What's Trumat Yadecha? Elu Bikurim. Didkash Bikurim and Maaser. Bikurim are right next to Maaser. Right? So just like Ma Maaser Asur Laonein, and that's explicit because in Vidui Maasrot you say Lo Achalti Ve'onim Mimenu, Af Bikurim Asur Laonein, so Bikurim are also prohibited. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says those Yisurim are only about Maaser. Shimon Truma Karina Rachmana. The Torah, after all, I agree with you, the Trumat Yadecha is Bikurim, but if the Torah refers to Bikurim as Truma, then Ma Truma Mutar Lonein, Af Bikurim Mutar Lonein. A Truma may be eaten by a Kohen whose beloved one was buried that day. And so therefore Bikurim the same thing. And therefore there's no Isur of Onein. And therefore you cannot exclude it from Matzah based on Lechem Oni and the play on Oni and Oni. You have to come up with the B'chomosh V'otechem. Rabbi Shimon, nihid hekesh leitle. But wait a second, Rabbi Shimon doesn't accept the hekesh of Masad Gan Chau Trumat Yadecha. But simcha miyam michta uktivabu. But Bikurim do have simcha as a stipulation of the experience. Tichtiv v'samachta b'chol atov. You have to rejoice when you bring the Bikurim. You have to rejoice with all of that God gave you. Now in Pshutoshal Mikra, it's not a problem because v'samachta b'chol atov is referring to the Yisrael who brought the Bikurim. We're talking about the Kohen who got the Bikurim as a gift and what he does with it. Right, but nonetheless, we're looking at it this way. We're saying Ahul is man simcha huda'ata. So Achta b'chol atov doesn't mean your state of mind, but it means you do it at a time of simcha d'inan. Me'atzeret v'yarachag meviva korei. When do you bring Bikurim? You bring Bikurim after Shavuot, anytime until Sukkot, and you could do the full Bikurim ceremony with Mikra Bikurim. Me'achag v'yar Chanukah meviva ino korei. You could still bring Bikurim until Chanukah, but you can no longer make the declaration, Arami, Overavi, etc., etc. And the reason understood here is because V'samachta V'cholatov and Zman Simcha is from Shavuot until Sukkot, because that's the time of different stages of harvest or harvest for different crops. Tanu Rabbanan, let's go back to Lechem Oni, the definition of Matzah. So here's one expansion. Prat L'chalut V'la'ashisha. So that excludes something that's been soaked in hot water, and also an ashisha. We'll see what that means. I might think it really has to be like really dry bread. Talmud Lomar, matzot, matzot riba. V'afiluk matzot shel Shlomo. It could be even royal matzot. So what's lachmoni about it if it could be royal? So now let's see what this means. So my mashma dahai ashisha leishana chashivuta. Who says ashisha means something like an important cake-like bread? This is when David came, finally brought the Aron to Yerushalayim after an interruption of several months. And he gave out all of these goods to everybody. And we assume, based on the context, that ashisha achat was a cake. And he gave each person chalalachem and ashpar ashisha. We assume these are different kinds of pastries, as it were. Ramcharan bar Abba, ashpar is achad mishisha bepar. Ashisha is achad mishisha be'efa. And so he says an ashisha means it was one sixth of an efa worth, which is quite a bit of flour put into this cake. So you see, it's a cake. Upliga to Shmuel, but that's at odds with Shmuel's definition, Shmuel's lexicon. Tamar Shmuel, Ashisha garva de chamra. Ashisha is a barrel of wine. And David gave out cakes, and he gave out a barrel of wine to everybody. Yichtiv, v'ave Ashisha anavim, near the beginning of Hosea, when he tells Hosea for the second time to go marry a woman of ill repute. He says, this is what Bnei Yisrael are like. They are people who like to do a lot of drinking of wine and then all the other stuff that comes along with it. So Ashishei Anavim is a dead giveaway that Ashishai is some sort of something related to wine, a barrel of wine. All right. Tana Rabbanan. So that in that Braita, when the position was Chalut Va'al Ashishai, from the author of that Braita, was some sort of a cake. Shmuel had a different interpretation of the word Ashishai in Tanakh. Tana Rabbanan. Enofin Pat Ava. Pesach. You're not allowed to bake thick bread on Pesach. Divrei Beit Shammai. Now, as you see, there's in the parentheses here, it says B'yom Tov, which would make it a whole different discussion. Beit Hillel Matirin. Beit Hillel permitted. Now, Kama Patava, how thick is thick? I mean, there would be a dispute. Ravuna Tefach. If it's Tefach thick, 3 inches thick, Shekein Matzino V'lechem HaPanim, Tefach. That's how thick the Lechem HaPanim was. So that's kind of the limit. Rav Yosef, Imam Rubi's Rizin, Yom Rubi Sheinan's Rizin. Wait a second. Lechem HaPanim, which they're making in the Mikdash, and they had to make sure was not Chametz. So there, the people are Rizin, so that maybe it could be as big as a Tefach, and they'd be careful that it wouldn't be Chametz. Back to the problem that we started the Shiur with. Right? Yom Rubi Sheinan's Rizin. You're going to say that about a regular person at home, that they could make bread that thick, and that's not a problem, and we're not afraid of Chimutz? And also the bread, the dough that was used for the lechem apanim was well kneaded, right? As opposed to a regular person, not necessarily. And the more well kneaded it is, the less likely it is to be mechametz quickly. All right. So you can't compare them. And then he would continue with the attack. After all, the wood and the use of the mikdash for baking was totally dry wood, as opposed to the moist wood, which might create more humidity and create more of a likeliness of chimutz. And the oven in the mikdash, in the azara, was very hot, and therefore it would bake it very quickly, and there wouldn't be time for chimutz, as opposed to a regular tanur that might take time to heat up, and in the meantime, it's going to be mechametz. And the mikdash, it was a metal oven, which of course heats up very quickly. And again, the whole issue here is one of time, as opposed to a ceramic tanur, which is the typical one used out there in the world, and that would take longer, more time. So therefore, you can't say that we can go up until a tefach without it being a problem, just because in the mikdash they did. The mikdash had all sorts of reasons why you could come closer to the boundary and not be concerned. There's all sorts of considerations: who's doing it, where it's being done, what kind of wood, what kind of flour, what kind of oven, etc. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, she'ilit et Rebbe biyichud. I asked that particular teacher, who's that? Umano, Rav. So the Gemara comments, that's Rav. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba asked Rav. Ikadam Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Amar Rav, she'ilit et Rebbe Yehud, Umano, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Or else Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba was quoting Rav as saying, back when I was young and I was in Eretz Yisrael, I asked my Rebbe, and that was Rabbeinu HaKadosh, my pat ava. What is this pat ava? What is this thick bread? Pat mirubat means there's a lot of dough there. When my car relay pat ava, why do they call it thick? Mishum de nefisha belisha, because it takes a lot of kneading. Or else it's just a lexical thing, which is that wherever the author of that breita was, in his town, they called it pat ava. But it was pat meruba. It just means a lot of bread. Now, my tama, imishum de katarach tirchot lotzarich. Now, this shifts us into the area, into the problem of the parentheses I pointed out. If the problem of making this very thick bread is that you're putting in a lot of extra effort, so my ear Pesach, if it's the Yom Tov Nami, then it should be on any Yom Tov, not just Pesach. So Ian Achinami, you're right. V'hai Tana b'Yom Tov Shepesach Kai. Our Tana was in the middle of a discussion about Pesach, and therefore he said, on Pesach you don't do it. But he wasn't saying it because of an issue of Chametz. He was saying it because of an issue of too much work. Tanya Nami Achazon, now it's not an issue of Chametz, therefore you could do it Erev Pesach. But you can't do it on Pesach or any other Yom Tov because it's too much work for the food. You can get along with less. Now we have another version of it, in which they explicitly say that it is an issue of Yom Tov. Tana Rabbanan, Yotzin v'pat nikiya uvahadra v'srikina mitzuyarin v'pesach. You can be yotze, which means from matzat mitzvah. You can use nice flour and bread from good flour. And you can also use srikina mitzuyarin, which means cakes. This is Syrian cakes. That's srikin that are shaped into figures. Right? Even though they said you can't make that on Pesach. So it means you could be yotze with it as made before. So, Baitus, the famous Baitus, asked the Chachamim, because when a woman's making these fancy breads, she spends a lot of time with it, and while she's making a lot of time, it becomes chametz. So, put it into a mold. Put it into a mold. It won't take more time. It won't take that much time. So then people are going to say, oh, you can't make fancy cakes except the kind that Baitus makes. That's not an issue of person here. It's just saying we can't issue a law that has these kind of strange and indecipherable exclusions and exemptions. Got to say they're all asur. Amar, so which means they're saying essentially it would be mutar if you had a mold, but not that many people are rich enough to afford it. Baitus is. It was when Gamliel Hazaken, because we're talking about Rabbi Tzadok, Rabbi Tzadok of Yerushalayim, the Beit Rabbi Gamliel, they brought these fancy cakes that are shaped into figures on Pesach. Didn't Chachamim say you can't make those on Pesach? It's not true. What they said was they didn't want the bakers to do it because the bakers make them very fancy, and by that time, then you have a problem of chimutz, but not a regular person at home. There's another version. The opposite is that the prohibition was dafka on a regular person. Now, baker's an expert. He can make it quickly. So Rabbi Yossi kind of splits the difference. He says you can make these kind of cakes as long as they're like flat, but you can't make these fancy Syrian cakes if they are like thick cakes. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with a continuation into the inquiry of the nature of matzah and the problems of chimutz in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.